And I'd just like to say thank you to Mervyn for asking me to do this. I do say I do it in a bit of fear and trembling, but at the same time, I do have joy in this too. And I don't know, don't take it lightly, because this is God's word, and I do believe that it's something that you don't just take lightly. And we want to be true to God's word. And but I do count it as a joy, because any of us is worthy to be used of the Lord, and yet he does want to use us. So just want to say thanks. And so maybe if you could turn to John 15, and I heard this morning that Daryl just he spoke on Romans 1-7, I think, and or 8, and he had 8 chapters, and I'm going to take 8 verses, so anyways, that's all right. So I'll just read the first 8 verses here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. I just want to commit the time once to the Lord again. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit. And we are dependent upon you. And we ask that you might make things clear and plain and simple to us, that we may abide in you and thereby bring forth much fruit. We just thank you that we can think on your word and encourage one another, and help us to do so, to build one another up. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. And the bit of the setting would be that this might be called part of the upper room ministry. And what we have had is that they went to this upper room, had the Lord's Supper, and the Lord Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, and he also spoke of the Holy Spirit coming, and Judas was given the sop, and he went out, and it was night. And the other thing is that in verse 31 of chapter 14, it says, But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And so we're not sure if they were starting to walk already, but I imagine they might have been down the steps, and maybe they were outside. when this discourse was given by the Lord Jesus. And so he starts, and he says that I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, this is another one of those great statements, I am, the Lord Jesus attributed to himself. And do you remember how that God said to Moses in the Old Testament in Exodus, tell them, I am hath sent you, I am that I am. And he is the self-existent one, and he is always in the present. And that is a title for God. And so this also brings out the divinity, or that Jesus is God. And he says, I am the true vine. And when you think of that word true, it means the real, ideal, or genuine. And he always was the true vine. And I think in this sense of the Lord Jesus as real and genuine, he is exactly what the Father wanted. And the Father is the husbandman. And they say that when someone would make a vineyard, they would choose a vine that they would want. And so the Lord Jesus is the true vine, and he is exactly what the Father wants. And there's some verses that bring these things out. Colossians 1, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him, the Lord Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And then we have also Colossians 2, 9, for in him, that's the Lord Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So, and then we have three times where the Father says, it's accounted in three different places, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And now I should back up a bit, but the Old Testament, there's Israel, is like a type, sort of, and they are pictured also as a vine, but the unfortunate thing is they did not bring forth as a whole, as a nation, fruit for God by being that testimony to the nations around. They did fail, and you know, we would too if we were in that position. We're no better. There were Old Testament prophets and so on, like Isaiah and Jeremiah, that did bring forth fruit for God. But as a whole, the nation of Israel failed in that. Now, they are not cast away. They are just set aside. And when the church is gone, then God will take up his earthly people once again. So he will deal with Israel once again. But back to our passage here. Verse 1, I am the true vine. So the Lord Jesus is exactly what the Father wants. And so the quality of life that he gives is eternal life. The Lord Jesus has life in him. Think of John 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And he says again in John 10, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So the kind of life that comes forth from the Lord Jesus is eternal life. And we have many more verses that support that, and we know that to be true. He is the true vine. The Father is the husbandman. And this Father word means nourisher, protector, upholder. And he is the vine dresser, the gardener. When I think of God the Father being the vine dresser, he's the one who's doing the work on the vine, that the branches that come off the vine, and we will see how that works later on as we get further down. Okay, so verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, I have to say, I did wrestle with some of the things in this passage. And I will just present with you, to you the different possibilities I believe could come out from this, and many applications can be brought out. So we have the picture of the Lord Jesus being the true vine and the Father being the husbandman. And he is the ultimate protector, nourisher, and upholder. Depending on how a person would understand the words taketh away, they have a possibility of meaning different things, that same word. In the one sense, it can mean to take up, to lift up. And that's fairly encouraging, because if you think of a vine or a branch on the vine that is sort of hanging low and it's running along the ground and it's not getting any sunlight and therefore it cannot produce any fruit. And then here comes the Father, the husbandman, and he picks it up and he brings it to the sunlight. And I'm sure we can all think of times in our life where we were really not walking with the Lord, and he come along and he brings up circumstances where he puts us in the light. We get into the good fellowship we have with one another and into the word and good teaching, and then we bear forth some fruit. That's one way of understanding this phrase here, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. One thing I know that it cannot say is that there's a believer and then they lose their salvation, because that is contrary to Scripture. There's just so many verses that teach that we have eternal life, the very word itself, eternal life. And I've just said the vine is the Lord Jesus, and he is the one who gives the life, and it's eternal, and it's his life. So another way of seeing it, though, could mean that there is a person who is not walking with the Lord, and there is no fruit in their life. And as we know, verses in 1 Corinthians 11, and especially verse 30, that many are sickly and sleep among you. And so the Lord, as it were, takes this person home to be with himself rather than be fruitless and kind of useless for him here. So it could be seen that way too. And then there is another view that possibly this could be one who, like Judas, was in the midst of the disciples, but not at this time anymore. But he was with them, and he didn't have the life of Christ in him. He looked like it, but he was a professor, but not a possessor. Now, I don't know if I really think that anymore, because right now the Lord Jesus is talking to the disciples, and Judas is gone from them. So there's a few different applications. All of them have good applications we can make. There's a warning not to be someone who is not real, because it says he taketh away. You could be removed. Or there's a warning if you're not walking with the Lord, that if it could mean you could be taken home to be with him. And then there's the encouragement that also if you're struggling, like we all do, the Lord, the Father, could pick us up and bring us into that place where we are able to produce fruit again. So, but then the next phrase there, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And throughout this passage, the goal of our Father in heaven and the husbandman is that fruit would be evident. And there's first fruit, then more fruit, and then much fruit. That's to his glory it is. It's to his glory. So, he purgeth. And this means that he cleanses it of the filth. But it's especially to prune the vine from useless shoots. And you know, I think for every one of us, we can be doing a lot of good things in and of themselves, but they might be just having us all over the place. But God the Father, the husbandman, knows what the goal is for your life and for mine. And so he is able to cut away the stuff that we don't need. It might look okay, but he cuts it away. And it's not always the nicest thing, maybe. But in the end, it is going where he wants us to go, our life. And I think God the Father can bring circumstances in our life that no one else can. He knows. He's in control. So I think of the, and the purpose here is for more fruit. I think here of the life of Joseph, that just think about it. He was, he received the coat of many colors. He was the beloved son of his father, and the others were jealous of him. And so he was thrown into a pit when he was going there to tell them a message from the father. And then he was sold to the Ishmaelites. And then after that, he went into prison. And all these things might have had him wondering what's going on. But in the end of it all, sorry about this. I just need to find. In the end of it all, he had, I'm not going to bother with my notes here. He was used of the Lord because all that, you know, the world at that time was basically saved by what he was so wise, and he was made second in command. And God really used him in the fruit of his life. And you know, a verse comes to mind, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The other one is Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God knows the good works or the fruits that he wants to produce in your life, and he might have to cut some stuff away. And this might be why the question people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, that might be. I don't know. But so these are some thoughts. Now, verse 3, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And you think of this here, and basically it means clear and pure, free from impure mixture, without blemish, without spot. Well, that reminds me of the Lord Jesus, his precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And now here the Lord Jesus is saying, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Well, if you think back when he was washing the feet of the disciples, Peter said, no, not my feet only. This is in chapter 13. 13 verse 10 or 9. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are all clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. You see, the lesson there was that the Lord Jesus was saying that when you have been born again, born from above by the Spirit of God, you're clean. God declares you clean. And but we do walk in this world as the disciples did. Your feet get dirty, and we need to be sure to, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to make those short accounts, and we need to be in the Word and have the washing of water by the Word, as it says in Ephesians. So there is that truth that, yes, you're saved once for all, but then you need the cleansing of the Word of God in your life. And here in back in chapter 15, verse 3, now are ye clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. And you know, you think of that verse in 1 Peter, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's incorruptible. It comes from him. There's no corruption there. And it says earlier than that, seeing ye have purified your souls and we are purified through the believing on the Lord Jesus Christ through his word. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. It is impossible to please God. And that faith needs to be in his word and in the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And here we have this, the word abide, and it sort of has a few different thoughts that come out of it. It says to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy, to continue, to dwell, endure, remain. And you know, if you think about this vine, I don't know all that much about these things, and so I'm probably speaking to you who know more than I do about a vine, but think of, this vine here. The main part is like the trunk of the tree, I guess, and that would signify the Lord Jesus. I am the true vine, and I in you, abide in me and I in you. So that branch that comes off that trunk, as it were, needs to stay there. And it's in the vine, in the true vine. And the branch is in the vine, and the vine is in the branch. Abide in me and I in you. Stay there. And you know, the truth comes out, like we have in Ephesians, that we are in Christ. But not only that, but it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he's in us too. And there is this vital connection that only starts when a person's born again. That must happen. You must be born again. Otherwise, there's no connection. Okay? But when you're born again, there's that connection. And from the life of the true vine, there's the juices or the sap or whatever you want to call it that goes out through into the branch. And that is what brings out the fruit in that branch. And do you think that branch is sweating and trying? No, it comes as it were through the life of the vine. And it's not an effort thing. It's remain, stay. And so continue. So there are so many verses too that I would like to, I just want to actually bring out a few that maybe bring this out. And again, I say Joseph, he's an example of abiding, because in Genesis 39, verse 2 and 3, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And then there's another verse, 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So Joseph was getting his strength from the Lord. And we need only to remain in his word, in God's word, so that we can hear his still small voice, and in prayer. Now, prayer is like communion with our Lord. That's the attitude of dependence upon him. You know, when you were saved, actually a verse that really came to mind was, as ye have therefore received the Lord Jesus, walk ye in him. That really is the way it is. How did you receive the Lord Jesus? By faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And it also was when you come to the end of yourself, you realize that I can't do anything. I'm lost. And that same kind of an attitude is the way we walk. I can't do this. And I need to depend on the vine, the Lord Jesus. So Colossians 2, verse 5 and 7 is a good example of how Paul describes, I believe, abiding. For though I be absent in the flesh, that's Paul speaking, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, so that steadfastness, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. You're rooted. You get your roots in the Lord, okay? Just like that branch is in the vine. And established in the faith, you're not going to be, you know, you're established. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. A verse in Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. He that dwelleth, that's an idea of abiding. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. So there comes that life of Christ flowing through you and me as we are abiding in him. I think of another thing, an application might be even just being here. This is where the church is the body of Christ, for we are members of his body. And it says, where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them also. In my name, there am I in the midst of them also. So we have in a real sense that the Lord Jesus is here. And when we're here, we're staying here, we're in these places with fellowship with one another, there is that the feeding we get from him. And so that can also be that life-giving, as it were, juices that flow from the vine through into the branch, and that's you. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, okay? Now we'll go on to verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now here we have a fairly similar verse, but it is much fruit. And I was thinking about the thought that comes out in here too, is, for without me ye can do nothing. You know, Daryl was sharing on Romans 7, and I don't know if he brought this verse out this morning or not, but Romans 7 verse 18 says this, for I know, this is Paul speaking, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. It's not in you and me. It's not in ourself. I can't do it. If we try to do something for the glory of God, and it's in the effort of ourself and our flesh, then it will end up being the works of the flesh, and it might just be, it look okay, but it doesn't stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And it has to be the life of Christ living through you and I to produce that true fruit for his glory. And I was thinking about it too, that on the way driving here, Delisha was saying there's different kinds of fruit, and every one of us is different. And there's many, we think of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control, and so on. There's a lot of different kinds of people here, and God knows what he wants to bring out in your life. Maybe there's a whole bunch of those. Maybe there's one. I don't know. But that aspect of it too is kind of neat to think about, how we're not the same. And so when we're abiding in the vine, John is bringing something out that's for God's glory, and Nelson's bringing something else out for God's glory, which is a little different. And so as we're all together, we see it as a whole. Okay, then we come to verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Here again, I think there's room for different ways of seeing this verse, and we can probably gain from application looking at it in those different ways. I don't say I know the end all and be all to this, but if a man abide not in me, that's in Christ, he is cast forth as a branch. This could be talking about a person who is a believer, and he fails to, he doesn't care for his relationship with the Lord. The fellowship isn't there. And something happens in the life. You think of King David, where he sinned with Bathsheba. Then he had Uriah killed, Uriah the Hittite killed. And then the thing that resulted from that was the name of the Lord was blasphemed among the Gentiles because of David. And so there could be a real lesson here. If you don't really want to abide in Christ, there's big consequences for this. And if we're not abiding in him, what's coming out of your life? Well, in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And apart from me, ye can do nothing. Nothing for God's glory is coming out. So a good chance something pretty bad's going to come out. And then your testimony is not in good shape at all. There is talk in Paul speaks of being shipwrecked. And so your testimony is gone through the mud, and the world around will just trample. They will have no mercy. And so that can be a real application here, a sobering one, that if you do not have that desire to abide in the vine, get your strength from the Lord, then we run the risk of having that your testimony is gathered up of men and cast into the fire and burned. And it's a sobering thought. Another way of looking at it, though, is that this here is another example of someone who never was a true believer. And then at the end, as it were, men, you can think of them as the angels gathering them up and throwing them in the fire, and the end result is the lake of fire. Well, it can be hard to tell the difference between somebody who's not walking with the Lord and somebody who's not saved. And both of them aren't producing fruit for God. So you wrestle with these things. But it's something that we need to really think about. Now verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now here we have one of the results of abiding in Christ, and it is an answered prayer life. And that's a real blessing too. I can think of some different verses here that bring this out. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto him, trust unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Your desires will be changed into the kind of desires that God has if we're letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's more verses on prayer here that are answered. I think of Psalm 145, verse 18 and 19. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. And of course, you have the verses in 1 John, and here's one, 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us, he heareth us. And The Lord Jesus said it too, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so that is another result of abiding in the true vine, in Christ. And then we come to verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And so we have that the Father, the husbandman, his work is that pruning, that we don't understand what's going on all the time, but it's for his glory. The fruit is the object or the goal, and it is for his glory. And again, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, joyfulness, kindness. This passage further on speaks of love, greater love, that we love one another, and that your joy might be full. These are direct results of abiding in the vine, abiding in Christ. So, I do think that that is pretty much all that I have to say. And I just wanted to share these thoughts with you. And maybe we pray for one another that we can actually truly abide in the vine. It's a resting and a trusting in the Lord Jesus, in who he is and what he has done. It's not an effort thing. And yet it's a steadfastness and a dwelling, continuing on. It's hard to put your finger on it exactly. But it's to remain, to stay. And may we also remember the lessons of the consequences of not abiding in the vine, not abiding in Christ. And those are pretty sobering too. And we don't want to make shipwreck of our testimony for him. All right, I'll just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you through the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for the truths that we've been able to think on in your word this evening. How that, Heavenly Father, you are the vine dresser or the husbandman, and you do that work in our life, that pruning, where we might not understand what's going on, but you know exactly what you're doing, and you are have begun a good work in us, and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We thank you, too, for your Son, the Lord Jesus, the true vine, and he is all that we need. If we draw upon him, let his life live through us, then the fruit of the Holy Spirit living in us will be evident. And we just ask that these things might be accomplished only by your grace and your Holy Spirit living through us. And we know that we cannot do anything in and of ourselves. And we are completely dependent upon you. And so help us to apply these matters to our hearts and lives and to walk by faith, to continue on in you. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.